It's the Mark Lee Show, bringing you enlightenment and culture.
All right, folks, we're in the studio with Christy Baker, who's a musician out of the Nashville area, and she is a singer, songwriter, and a talented musician that I had the pleasure of meeting through the wonders of the internet. You know, the internet just lets you find all kinds of talented people and things of that nature. So had the pleasure of meeting her through the internet, and she's been involved in the music business for a number of years. You know, we've got a couple of folks here on our platform, the IBM.TV folks that have spent some time in Nashville. One of my co-hosts is Alexandria May. She's actually in South Africa, but of course, spent some time between Nashville and South Africa. And because of COVID, she is actually now spending more time in the area of the South African part. I believe she's in around Johannesburg or something like that. But she definitely still has friends in Nashville. And I've got some friends in Nashville as well, or friends that have had ties to the Nashville music industry. Of course, I know Tiff Merritt, who is based here in North Carolina, but she has definitely performed in Nashville and done a lot of work with our Nashville musical scene. And of course, Nancy Middleton has done quite a bit of work in Nashville as well, but is now living here in the Durham area where she is originally from. And Reese Palmer, who a lot of folks know from some of the reality shows, is in this area, but has definitely spent time in Nashville and around the world. So those are just some of my Nashville folks. So glad to have a new friend here, Christy Baker, who is a great musician, and I would love to hear more about her story as to how she got involved in the music industry and when she first started singing. I'm thinking that she might have been a child prodigy, or maybe she was a later in life person, but I'm thinking she was actually a child prodigy. So tell folks how you first got involved in the music business.
Well, I was pretty young. I remember sitting up and thanks for having me on, by the way, before I get started here. I was pretty young, though, and I started thinking about music and listening to Elvis on the radio and doing that. And, you know, I just got into it. And I sat up in my car and in the car with my parents when I was about, I think I was about 9 or something. And I told them, I said, I'm going to be on the radio someday. And they just, you know, they kind of shrugged it off. And then as time went on, I did more and more with the music and singing. And then I was about 15 and I started writing. And that's when things sort of opened up for me. Is the writing is a big part, because you get to put a lot of your heart into it. So that helped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I just kept doing it. And then it was around, I'm trying to remember now, it's around 2009 that I moved here from North Carolina, actually. I am actually born and raised around the Outer Banks, and I was actually born in Lisbon City.
Okay.
So I went to high school at Manio High School in North Carolina. So I'm a North Carolina girl. So
yeah,
it was cool that you found me.
Oh, yeah. So what was it like, the music scene growing up as a kid in North Carolina? You said that you definitely had some interest in music as a kid, but was there an active music scene that you remember as a kid when you were living there in the beach? Or is it something that you really found greater in the Nashville area? Or did you find a strong scene in the Outer Banks as well?
On the Outer Banks as well. During, I used to go and do things with chorus, and I was in chorus during high school, and then we did talent shows and things like that. And our talent shows were pretty hard. You had to do like 3 auditions to get on it, and there was like, I think there was 500 people at the talent show when I was probably 18, almost 18, 17 and a half. So I did that, and then I went on, you know, had children. And so it kind of a mix between raising children and trying to do the music. But the thing that most people need to hear, if they're into doing the music and this in their heart to do it, it's a God-given talent. They should never give up on it. So you just keep trying, and you keep just be yourself. Yeah. And
yeah, you definitely have to be yourself in the music industry. Now, did I hear you correctly? Did you say there were 500 people that auditioned? I know that there couldn't have been 500 in the show. So how many were in the show?
There was 500 people that showed up to watch us.
Okay.
So that was a large crowd for me at that time, because I had, you know, I'd sang in front of about 75 people, 70, you know, stuff like that, little in family gatherings. My uncle was a drummer, my Uncle Daryl, and also my Uncle Doug, he was a guitar player. So we had musical talent in the family. And then on the other side of the family, my grandma was going to be on the Grand Ole Opry radio show. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but like she was going to be on that, but her dad told her no, because she was only, you know, back then the parents were strict, so she was only around 11 years old, so they said absolutely not. So she didn't get to do that opportunity, and she shared a lot of her musical dreams with me growing up. So,
well, and who were some of the folks that inspired you? Were there certain musicians that you really loved, and were they all like out of the country environment? Were they out of the folk environment? I don't know. I know a lot of people are big fans of like folks like Tammy Wynette and, of course, Dolly Parton. And then there are folks that are like Bonnie Raitt out of the blues, which is one of the categories of music that I love. But who were some of the folks that inspired you?
Well, mine was quite different. I started out like doing rock, and like it was stuff like Heart and Pat Benatar and stuff like that. I started out doing that. And that, you know, of course, I'm going to give away my age here, but that was in the 90s. So, like, I started doing that. And then I just, I fell in love with country music because it has such a heart into it. And my grandparents did have a farm. And so I was always kind of a country girl anyways. You know, you just kind of get in and work very hard, very, very hard.
Okay, so go ahead.
So it just made me fall in love with the whole like heart of it all. You know, the lyrics are very important in a song. And so like I fell in love with like some of the heart of country music. And so definitely I liked Dolly Parton and George Strait and all that. And now I actually have friends that are in the country music business. Jimmy Wayne, and very Christian, very good person, helps a lot of people. I mean, just amazing artist.
And were you involved at all in your church or your family's church? So did you do anything with like the gospel music scene or anything of that nature? Because I do know like quite a few musicians will actually be involved in gospel as well. So I was wondering whether you had any of that involvement.
Well, I would go and travel to different churches with chorus, and we would do things there. And then also friends would invite me, and I'd do like a trio, like at a Christmas show and stuff like that. But I've always had a strong faith in the Lord. I have to say, though, in all honesty, I don't go to church as much as I – before the COVID, I didn't go to church as much as I would have liked. Some of it's because I just worked so hard. Some of the days that I had off was only on Sunday before this. So.
And did you say that you are performing at all? Because like I said, we had a couple of guests on that have been musicians. And of course, COVID has definitely been impacting them. They've not been able to do as much because of COVID. So I was wondering how it was impacting you in terms of getting performances. So how many performances are you doing? Are you getting by your studio? And is it a studio that you have yourself, or are you using one of the bigger studios or one of the medium-sized studios there in Nashville?
No, this is actually my studio in my home. And so we recorded all our music here. Bo is my fiance. I met him. It was in 2011. I had met Bo, and he's my guitar player. I'm actually learning the piano, and I'm doing pretty good at it so far. But I'll share that as I get more practice in. But yes, I'm in my studio, and no, we haven't had as much work, but I've had more people and more opportunities that are coming up after this is over. So there's going to be some huge opportunities for me coming up. So very huge. So I've had a lot of help. So when this is over, then y'all get to see me more, a lot more.
So are you feeling optimistic about the live performance scene? So do you think that we're going to see, because I know a lot of the musicians are not thinking about any music happening in the rest of this year, 2020, but there are some speculation that we might be able to get music going again in 2021 or definitely by 2022. But what is your feeling about the music industry? And do you think that we will get back to performing the way that we used to?
I think we will get back to it, but it's not going to happen this year. It's definitely not. You can tell it's just not going to happen this year. Actually, we're getting more and more cases, and so you don't want to get definitely don't want to expose somebody who's vulnerable. You know, you just don't want to do that. So I would just say that it's going to be a year or two, I would think.
So you say it's going to be a year or two before we get to anything in terms of actually getting performances in terms of the way that you're thinking that things will work out. So that's going to be sad news for a lot of musicians and things of that nature. So in terms of your own career and everything, now you said that you put it on hold for a minute because of having the family. So how many kids do you have, and how long did you put it on hold, and what brought you back into deciding to get back into performance?
Okay, so I had had three children, and they're getting up in age now, so they're getting to where they can grow up. And but I had three children. I had a son and two daughters, and so it took a lot of my time. So for about, I guess it would have been about. And I was doing music in between, so I can't really say I quit completely, but I was doing a little bit. But just, I became very focused when I moved here in 2009. And so that's when I kept doing the music consistently, even with the children. And so so they grew up around that, and they enjoy that part, and they're very encouraging.
Now, are either of them planning to pursue music as well, or is that something that none of your kids are thinking about, or is any of them already starting to lean toward performance? Because I know my friend Reese Palmer, who's a musician, she's actually got a younger kid now. I think the child might be less than a year old, or maybe something around that age. But her older daughter, Gracie, if I remember the name correctly, she's almost part of the show. She'll jump on stage and she'll sing and do things of that nature. So I didn't know whether you had any proteges among those that are in your family. So is anybody kind of jumping onto the performance bandwagon?
Well, sort of like her daughter Gracie, my son Jonathan is just, he's wanting to do the music. He's feeling it. And so, but he's wanting to go into rap, actually. Or like kind of a hip hop sound kind of thing. He wants to do something like that. And so I do encourage him. He has a great voice. He has also got the writing talent as well. So he's pretty good at it.
Oh, good. And how do you feel that we're doing in terms of like music, in terms of education? Because I know on this show, as well as on some of our other shows here on the network, we've had a lot of folks say that they wish that music had a greater support from the community, because they don't think that it's got enough support from the community in terms of like the schools actually teaching it the way that they used to. So I just want to know some of your thoughts on that. Do you think that we're doing a good enough job of supporting our musical education, or would you like to see improvements in that?
I would probably like to see some improvement. And that would come from probably musicians like myself coming in and teaching people how to write. And, you know, you can just put your feelings down on paper and it might sound ridiculous. But if you just keep at it, it winds up being a song. So everybody that wants to, that really and truly in their heart wants to be a musician can do it. They just have to be determined to do that. And you have to pray because it comes from God and that's just how it is.
Yep, definitely have to have that spiritual background. I would agree with you on that. You got to have that spiritual connection and everything. So you said that you discovered that at a very young age. So you were already telling your parents when you were very young that you knew you wanted to be on radio and you knew you wanted to be both a performer and I guess maybe an announcer as well. So you were telling them that when you first heard. Who was the first person you heard that got you to think that?
I would say my grandmother was very encouraging because, you know, she lost her opportunity and then she wound up having five kids, raising them. And so I said, if I ever get the opportunity, even if I have kids, I'm just going to keep going because it's sort of depressing when you let your dreams go. So it doesn't matter what age you are or anything about you, you just got to have confidence and just do the music. Everybody deserves a chance.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Everybody deserves that chance and everything. And you said that the studio is your own studio, so you're owning the studio that you're in and everything. But I was wondering, as a woman entrepreneur and as a woman musician, do you sometimes still run into issues with that? Because I do know that out of the Me Too movement, there was complaints about women in terms of the way that they were treated by the music industry. So I would love to hear some of your thoughts on that as to whether it's gotten better, whether it's the same, or how you would like to see that improved.
I'm going to tell you, since COVID, there's no problems on the way you treat. I mean, I don't know whether, I mean, there's everybody, very famous people have been talking to me since. Online, very, very famous. And out of respect, I don't want to bring up because I've got opportunities in the works, so I don't want to bring that up. But yes, that women get treated kind of bad sometimes, but you know, you got to just let people know, you know, what you're going to put up with, what you're not going to put up with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You have to sit there and stand firm on your ground and not let folks step on you the way that some folks might want to do. I'm going to try to put up and we're going to do a share screen. So I'm going to see if I can't get one of your songs playing. I believe this is the one called Carolina or Leaving Carolina, the one about Leaving Carolina. Yeah, Christy Baker, Leaving Carolina. So I'm going to see if we can't get that up and if we can't hear some of this music of yours. So hopefully folks will enjoy it and get a chance to hear it. So if you give me a chance to get that together, we'll try to get that working. But in the meantime, what advice would you give to folks about performing, those that are thinking about performing and would love to perform? What advice would you give them?
Just be yourself. You're going to feel nervous. Everybody does. It's a natural. There's no need pretending like you're not nervous. But just remember that you're doing something that you love. So just relax and enjoy it. Just enjoy it for what it is. And then, you know, don't get too caught up either in all the...
We're going to try to see if we can't get the song going. Oh, there we go. Yes, so we've got that going. So we're going to see if we can't get her song playing and things along those lines. So you can just hold on 1 second. We're going to try to get the song going with Christy playing. And this particular song is entitled, see if I can get the right title going. It's Christy Baker, Leaving Carolina. So Christy Baker, Leaving Carolina. And it's her song about when she left this area.
Just another long night where nothing seems to work out right. We had a fight, all the pain drifts away. Cause every time you called my name, I was to blame. You've got a sick, busted heart and a broken down smile. I've been walking for 50 damn miles. Wish somebody would give me a ride. I'm leaving Carolina, going back to Tennessee. Leaving the past behind, saying goodbye to you and me. One day I'll look back and see we were history. Right now the pain's too strong for me to even see. It's just another long day where nothing seems to go my way. That's a shame. All the pain drifts away. Cause every time you called my name, I was to blame. You've got a sick, busted heart and a broken down smile. I've been walking for 50 damn miles. Wish somebody would give me a ride. I'm leaving Carolina, going back to Tennessee. Leaving the past behind, saying goodbye to you and me. One day I'll look back and see we were history. Right now the pain's too strong for me to even see. Leaving Carolina, going back to Tennessee. Leaving the past behind, saying goodbye to you and me. One day I'll look back and see we were history. Right now the pain's too strong for me to even see. Leaving Carolina, leaving the past
behind. See if I can't remove that one. I hope folks heard that, but if not, I'll try to bring it back up again. But what was that song all about? And just tell us a little bit about that particular song, and I'll try to bring up one of the other ones as well.
Okay. When I came here, I had no money. I was actually in my car, and I had 3 kids in the car and a dog, and I had a peg holding up my window. So I started writing that song, and that song was about I had some hardships and a very abusive marriage, and so I just left. And so at the time I felt like there was going to be dangers of, you know, abuse, because there had been, you know, stalking and things like that. So like I just left. And so I came out here not because of that. I came out here for the music. And so I wanted a new life. So, and it happened, but it didn't happen as quick as people think. You can't just come here and think it's going to just fall in your lap either. Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And you got to really, really want to do it.
And what kind of fortitude did it take for you to actually have that energy to leave what sounds like it was a bad situation? Because a lot of times I know that folks will just stay in bad situations. I know even guys, because I've been in some situations that weren't all that great, and I know definitely women have. So what was it, was that moment that just got you to go ahead and pursue your dream and to also leave that bad situation?
Well, we had already split up, and there had been like things that could have gone on legally, where even to the point of attempted murder. So I had to leave. I really had no choice. I just had to plan it out and leave, because I had tried to leave before, and I was stopped by him. And so I planned out. It took me a year and something to plan out, and I left and got the kids out of that too, because I didn't want them to have the pain that I had. So lucky for me, the children were not hurt. So, but I couldn't stay in something like that, because it was a matter of, do you want to live or do you not want to live? But I would say, if you're in a situation like that, you need to talk to somebody. You can find me on the internet. If you can't think of anybody else you can talk to, you have to get out. The first time that somebody hits you or breaks something or damages your property to control you, that's a super warning sign. So you need to get out of that. So there's no need to stay with somebody who's going to actually physically hurt you.
So yeah, you got to get out of those bad situations. There's no doubt about that. And it sounds like you had a very good way of doing that, just actually leaving that bad situation and not letting folks push you back into staying. So I do know that sometimes folks will try to convince you to stay in even bad situations. So did you get any of that pressure from either your friends or the other individual's friends? And how did you cope with that?
Believe it or not, I actually got it from social services, because they actually, in North Carolina, I got that from them, because they actually told me that he had every right to see the children. And so that meant I had to stay in the torture. So like a man who tries to kill you and all that, and then you've got to allow him to see the kids. I could see tendencies, like he was, like there was an instance where there was silverware, and he just freaked out about the silverware in the middle of the night. I had the house perfect, but the silverware was not done. It was in the sink. And so it was, there was a bedspread, and it was freshly cleaned. So he spread out all the silverware that was dirty all over and wanted to wake up my daughter in the middle of the night to make her do that. And I told him no. And then we got in a big argument the whole night. So there was things like that. He was a heavy drinker as well. So I think that plays a big part in that, like a super heavy drinker. So, I would just say it was altogether a bad experience. And if you see things like that, it can be very scary, and you get very intimidated to leave. I mean, you actually figure, well, maybe I've done something wrong, maybe, but it wasn't a big support system as far as leaving, because people are like, if you try harder, if you do more, like if you know, there's not a lot of support as far as that goes. Because you're thinking it too. You're like, well, maybe I could have done something different and he wouldn't act this way. Because they actually tell you that right after they hit you or something. And then they tell you they're sorry. And the reason why women stay, I think, a lot of times is because they make it up to you. And so it seems unreal. Like, oh, well, they're really sorry. I don't think they probably think about it.
Wow.
As far as being sorry.
It sounds like you've actually found a better situation now. The situation that you're in now, it sounds like a much more warmer relationship. So how did that come about? Because it sounds like you've actually got a much more supportive system that's going on now.
Oh, I absolutely do. Bo, I met him in 2011, and he was just my guitar player. So we started working on the music, And it was about a year into the relationship. We went out to see, and I can't even, I got to tell you, I can't even remember the guy's name right now. It was a big producer out in Nashville, and we were out there, and we're walking through Opryland Hotel. And as we were walking, he was like, man, this place could kind of make you fall in love. And so we just started dating after that, shortly after that.
Well, so y'all are also working together, and I know sometimes that can be hard for folks to both work together and also maintain the relationship. So how do you have that balance of both work and romance and maintain that balance since y'all are working as a couple, but you're also producing music as a couple and working on music as a couple?
Well, he kind of, I let him kind of do his own thing. He'll play, he'll come in here and he'll play the guitar for hours, and I'll just go work on the piano. And so we'll try to, you know, do that. And then, you know, if he doesn't want to do the music with me, I just go and write my own stuff. So we're fine with that. And then when we have to do something like this past August, in August of 2019, we did a huge festival, and it was out in Alabama, I believe. It was, I can't remember the town, but it was called Hometown Festival. They can look that up. I think I posted it out on Facebook a few times. But like, we did the Hometown Festival, and so when it's time to do something, I can always get him to do it. But he kind of does his own music, and I kind of do mine, and then we get together to do the music. So it kind of works out that way.
Sounds like that's a good way to maintain that relationship, and also a great way to have that kind of working relationship. So that sounds like it's really working well for y'all. I want to put on one of your other songs so the folks can hear a little bit more of your music. This one I want you to tell them a little bit about before I put it on, and it's entitled My Heart Is Breaking. So what is My Heart Is Breaking all about before I bring that on here? So just tell us what that song is about.
It was just something that came into my heart, and I kept singing, for the longest time, I kept singing My Heart Is Breaking, and, just that line, and then the other line came, and then it was a few years, actually, and then when Bo and I met, I finished writing it, so...
Cool. Well, we're going to let them hear a little bit of My Heart Is Breaking and what that's all about. We got some other songs that I'd like to hear to comment on. But first, let's hear My Heart Is Breaking and let them get a little taste of that. Well, we might have to go back and try that again because that apparently did not want to work. So we're going to bring it back up one more time and see if it'll work this time. Otherwise, we'll go to one of the other songs.
My heart is breaking. Every step I'm taking. And this road I'm on just keeps rolling on. But you left me alone now. So what am I supposed to do? So I'm going home now. 'Cause there's nothing left to hold on to. And every step I take is the word you said that make my heart break. And somewhere in my heart is where you'll always stay. That's how I know you'll never go away. And my heart is breaking. Thank you. My heart is breaking with every step I'm taking. And no matter what you do, just keep falling more in love with you. But you left me alone now, so what am I supposed to do? So I'm going home now, 'cause there's nothing left to hold on to. And every step I take, it's the words you said that make my heart break. And somewhere in the heart is where you'll always stay. That's how I know you'll never go away. And my heart is breaking. Every step I take, it's the words you said that make my heart break. And somewhere in my heart is where you'll always stay. That's how I know you'll never go away. And my heart is breaking.
Wow, what a song. Very moving song, and definitely can see where folks would enjoy that kind of music and things of that nature. So definitely, I was already feeling the heartbreak over here, so I've definitely dealt with some heartbreak in my life, and I can feel the pain of that heartbreak that you were having there. So tell our listeners where you get some of your inspiration from. Like I said, some of it is definitely coming out of your own life experiences and things of that nature. But is it all life experiences, or do you ever find inspiration from other places as well?
Sometimes I find inspiration in other people that I meet, even strangers, actually. Sometimes they'll tell me their stories, and I'll just get an idea, or something they said. Sometimes they can just say a few words. And Burning Up Daylight is one of those that one, my dad used to say Burning Up Daylight all the time. And so he was like, hurry up. He was a military guy, so he's like, hurry up, you're burning up daylight, you need to hurry up. And so I said that to my kids one morning. My son goes, Mom, you know, you should write a song about that. And I was like, that's crazy. I don't know. And then I started singing it with a melody, like on the stairwell while I was talking to him. And he was like, you know, that song could really work. And that one was probably the most popular of all the songs, Burning Up Daylight was.
Well, we're definitely going to let folks hear that. So I'm going to bring up Burning Up Daylight right now, because that looks like a good way to have some more conversation. So you're ready to bring up Burning Up Daylight and let folks check out what this song is all about, because it looks like your dad had some very solid advice that he was giving you. So that's always good when dads or any parents or just any older advisor gives you that kind of advice. Since I know I even try to give good advice to my nephews, because I don't have any kids of my own, but I do have nephews, so I try to give them good solid advice when I can. So let's check out Burning Up Daylight, I believe is the name of this song. So let's check out what this is all about and bring that up.
I'm burning up daylight.
And it did the same thing that it did last time. So we're going to make that change again, and we'll see if we can't get Burning Up Daylight one more time and see if we can't get this thing rolling right along. So hold on one second, we'll make that happen. And while we're doing that, Hold on, see if we can't get some more comments from Christy while I work on that minor glitch that we're having. So, Christy, what advice, if you would share, that you would give to folks that are trying to break into the music business? Like I said, a lot of people will try to migrate to Nashville, they'll try to migrate to New York, or they'll try to migrate to wherever. I oftentimes find that sometimes the best people are those that are doing the work right there in their hometown. So I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Things have really changed. So, you don't really have to move. You can do a lot of, internet, networking. You can just reach out to people. There's some very good people out there. And, I have found that being from North Carolina, there's a lot of country music artists out here that are from North Carolina. So, North Carolina, just knowing, you know how North Carolina people are. They're just all friendly. So if one, they're like family, everybody's like family. So that part has helped. Also, if you just live in your hometown, just network, 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 put your music out there. And if you're doing it for money, just forget that. So like it's not, you've got to love it past, what you're going to receive for it. Because sometimes it doesn't pay. Like Spotify, I received this year, I think it was 1,037 downloads for one song. And I only got paid $10.37. So things like that. So you've got to be in. You've got to be in it for the long haul, because musicians do not get paid unless they perform live. Very well anymore. On the album sales, it's not so much.
And what about the radio play? Do you find as an independent musician that you're getting the kind of support that you would like from radio, or you're not getting that at all? So how do you feel about radio play in terms of how that works?
I'm finding that fine. Everybody I reach out to usually plays the music, or everybody who finds me usually plays the music. They played my music on, and I thought it was going to be on the amateur hour course, because that's the demo that you're listening to. That's not a fully produced album. So that's just a demo. And just on that demo alone, it was, we've been in Port Pirie, South Australia, on the radio, of course, by the internet. And, I was on Trax FM, and they played me before Carrie Underwood, actually, which I was shocked. They gave me a lot of support. It was Country Jukebox with John Hannon, and out of Port Pirie, South Australia. So it was nice. There's been a lot of support. GHTR, which I worked for a year afterwards with as a host. They were amazingly supportive of the music, and there's been a lot of support. But as far as concerts and things, I think there's just has to be put off for right now because of COVID. But yeah, there's been a lot of support, and more now because the musicians are out of work. So people who wouldn't have normally talked to you actually are talking now.
Yeah, I'm finding that even with like the interview format and everything, because both on this show as well as some other podcasts that I do, I will reach out to folks on, like I reach out to you on like LinkedIn and Twitter and different other stuff. And you're right, a lot of times even some big name folks will reply back, because we're all in kind of like that lockdown mode. So even some of our busier celebrities find time to actually reach back to you and say that they're interested in being on the show. I had a friend of mine. Her show is Mona Rants, and she had Mo Kelly on, the great radio announcer who had a little spat with Roger Stone and everything. And I reached out to him on Twitter and was like, I'd love you to be on my podcast. And he was like, sure, just send me the information and the particulars and we'll make it happen. So that's just one example. So you're right. A lot of times folks are wanting to share their stories and let you spread their message out. So because of us all being in lockdown, I do think that more and more of this is happening. But right now, we're going to see if we can't make this thing work. So we're going to see if we can't get Burning Up Daylight this time. So let's see if it works.
I'm burning up daylight, wasting my time. I'm burning up daylight, wasting my time, waiting for the day when you'd be all mine. Sitting in the back room, crying my eyes out, 'cause you know I loved you, and there was no doubt. 'Cause the lights are all on, but baby, nobody's home. I'm still wondering why you left me here alone. One day you'll come back and notice that I'm gone. But I'm still burning up daylight, trying to move on. I'm burning up daylight, wasting my time, waiting for the day when you'd be all mine. You run away anytime you can. You never figured out how to be a real man. 'Cause the lights are all on, baby, nobody's home. I'm still wondering why you left me here alone. One day you'll come back and notice that I'm gone. But I'm still burning up daylight, trying to move on. Baby, hold on, before I'm long gone. You turn your love off and you turn your love on. Your memory gets me through the night, burning up daylight. 'Cause the lights are all on, but baby, nobody's home. I'm still wondering why you left me here alone. But one day you'll wake up and notice that I'm gone. But I'm still burning up daylight, trying to move on. 'Cause lights are all on, but baby, nobody's home. I'm still wondering why you left me here alone. But one day you'll wake up and notice that I'm gone. But I'm still burning up daylight, trying to move on. I'm still burning up daylight, trying to move on.
Wow. So what's the most difficult thing you found about the music industry, just in terms of your own career, and the most difficult thing that you've had to deal with? And also, on a different angle, where do you see yourself at 5 to 10 years from now in the music profession?
The most difficult thing is getting past your own insecurities, I would say. Really, even now, listening to this, I have to be 100% honest. I will say I'm picking out all the things that are wrong with this song, as opposed to, and that's just how singers think. Artists in general are very critical of what they're doing. But, you know, just getting past that and just doing the music for the fun of it and the love of it is the hardest thing. And once you do that, you're just sharing your art with somebody. So there's no right or wrong. So, you know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know one of the shows we had earlier was talking about the warrior spirit. So it was actually a young lady that was talking about how the warrior spirit is very much something that is needed in all of us. So we have to have that kind of like spirit of a warrior in order to conquer a lot of things. So they were talking about that on one of our other shows.
Yes, and I do see the music going somewhere very soon. Hopefully, the COVID thing wears down, and there's some things in the works that I actually can't talk about right now, or I don't think that I should because I don't want to mess up a good opportunity. But it's big. It's very big. But that will last a couple of months, and I can tell you this, it would end at the Ryman if it does proceed. So it's not a bad thing.
That's a great thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Now I know I've got a friend of mine, Zach, who's a musician. He's actually a funk musician, and he's got some great equipment. I've seen all this great equipment in the back of your studio as well, or around your studio. And sometimes that's where I think folks get a little bit too concerned. They might have the musical talents. They might feel that it's outside of their price range in terms of like getting the computers and getting the equipment and getting the kind of instruments. So what do you tell the folks that might be concerned about getting into music but are afraid that they don't have enough wherewithal or enough capital to get the latest guitar or the latest piano or the latest whatever?
Okay, so first of all, just to be real with you guys, I have been the most broke person, and so I have been very poor in my life. And when we started this, and by the way, the furniture that you're actually seeing, the desk and the chair and the table back there, all that stuff, that came, somebody gave that to me, okay? But the guitars were something that Bo collected over time. He would look, you know, like on Craigslist or somewhere and buy one, or he had a family member that gave him. So this doesn't happen overnight. It's piece by piece. And the computer that I'm using, actually, it really did. It came from a pawn shop, and the interface was bought brand new and things like that. But it does not take a lot of money. I would say it takes a lot of determination to get the right things. And you can't just buy the first thing you see, because you got to buy for quality. And you also want to keep the price low. So there's I just bought a piano, and it was around the $600 piano, and I bought it for $250. So if you look hard enough, you can find affordable items that you can, you don't have to spend thousands.
Well, I'm sure that some of our listeners will be glad to know that. I know Nashville's got a real rich music tradition with like the songwriter circles and things of that nature. But what about Nashville drew you to it? Like I said, you are from the Outer Banks, but something drew you to Nashville instead of going to New York or going to one of the other musical towns. So what about Nashville and the personality of Nashville drew you to it?
I had a dream of singing on the Grand Ole Opry, and that's just something that I've always wanted to do. So to move out here, and my dream of being on the radio, it happened. So, and now I'm just waiting for it to sing on the Opry. But that's something that I wanted to do, and I wanted to be around other musicians. So that's pretty much what drove me here. And I wanted to be around a lot of musicians. So that happens. There's millions of people here with talent that is unbelievable. So it's kind of fun sometimes. Since COVID, the streets are kind of empty sometimes, and I'm waiting to see everybody healthy and moving about again and doing the music and enjoying it.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that too, when we can actually see people doing live performances one more time. And I know that there was even a festival here, the festival that, you know, that usually is held outside in a big state park, but this year they did it virtually because they couldn't have it in its usual big environment. So they did it at a theater, and the theater didn't have an audience or anything of that nature. So it was definitely different than it usually would be. So I'm with you. I'm definitely hoping that we're going to get back to the old way of doing things, but don't know when that'll be because they're still having these outbreaks in places. How is Tennessee doing? I know how North Carolina is doing. I think we're in either phase two or phase three, but how is Tennessee doing in terms of what you're hearing on the news in terms of fighting against the COVID?
Nashville, not so much. I'm about 12 miles, outside of Nashville. And it's, that's where I live. And so, basically it's pretty bad. It's spreading at a rapid pace. But there's not as many deaths as there was, so I'm happy to hear that. People are recovering. They're just getting really kind of ill. I don't know how it is. How is it there?
Things have been slowing down a little bit, but they've had days where it spiked up, days where it spiked down, so it fluctuates. I think that right now we're in like about, I want to say we're still in phase two. We haven't gone to phase three yet, so it's like, I think, a four-phase thing. And of course, people are trying to figure out, as I'm sure you are, because you've got kids and everything, about the school system. So I know that right here, I think they said it'll be 9 weeks. I don't have any, but I do have my nephews and my brother, and those that are in public school will actually be having 9 weeks before they go into the school. And that's not even 100% sure, because it might even get extended. But right now they're saying 9 weeks of online education. But surprisingly, some of the private schools are actually going to school and are going in with COVID protocols and other things, but they are going into classes. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So there does seem to be a different way between the way the private schools are handling it and the way public schools are handling it. But I know in Durham, Orange County, which is one county over, and Wake County, it looks like most of that is going to be online. So are your kids of school age, and are they going to be going to school online, or have y'all heard yet?
My son is 17. Basically he's done with school now. So, everyone out, the daughters, they're older. I have an 18-year-old, and I had I was teenage pregnancy actually. And, she's 27. So they're grown now.
So they're just coping with it in terms of the work world and not necessarily in terms of the school world and things of that nature. Were there any of the fields that got really shut down, like restaurants or beauty salons or any of that stuff, or are they in fields that were not as impacted?
Well, it's funny you said that. I actually clean houses and it's expensive homes. I mean, expensive. Millions of dollars. And I go in and clean their homes and stuff. So I have had work the whole time, which is a big blessing. But a lot of people had to close down the restaurants, and some of them, which is sad to say, they're permanently closed. Some of the businesses permanently closed. I'm sure you heard about all the vandalism and things that we had. And so it was just a few people. There was a peaceful riot. Peaceful protest. And then there was just a few bad apples that caused the whole thing. I think it was maybe 10 people, maybe less, that caused such a ruckus in Nashville. So they destroyed a lot of property. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, we are seeing some of that. And then we're also seeing different other kind of things happening with everything from the different protests that are going on to COVID to every other kind of things. What has been your take on some of the other issues that are hitting our economy, not just the COVID, but like even some of the things with the Confederate monuments and Black Lives Matters and other things that are going on in the news, as well as the economic downturn? So as a musician, I know sometimes musicians also have opinions about the rest of the world as well. So I was just wondering what some of your thoughts were on that.
Well, I love all people, and I think everybody should get along and like skip and hold hands, but I know that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I have an unrealistic take. Everybody tells me that's not going to happen, but I'd like to see people get along. I mean, and just not just be able to talk and not have so much hate. And I just want, I think everyone, no matter race, color, belief, deserves love, and we should all just love each other. I mean, seriously, we're here together and we all have blood. So I think everybody should just learn to get along.
No, I agree with you on that. And that's actually one of the themes that one of our producers, Anke, talks about regularly. Is one of the themes of IBM.TV is uniting folks on a regular basis and finding ways to unite and connect folks and not necessarily do division. So that's what we're all about, is trying to find unity and things of that nature. Because like I said, Anke, one of our producers, is out of India. We've got the young lady, Alexandria, who does a musical show, Musical Cafe, on Sundays, who's out of South Africa. And we've got Sasha, who is lives in Canada, but I think is originally from the Russian area. And so we've got producers from throughout the world. And speaking of throughout the world, what would be like some of your wish list places that you would love to go on? I know that sometimes they talk about bucket lists, but as a friend of mine has put it, I think it might have even been on one of our platforms before, one of our shows, he didn't necessarily want to call it a bucket list because that implies that you've kicked the bucket. He just wanted to say the list. So if you had a list of places that you would go to, what would be on the places that you want to visit? You've already gone from the Outer Banks to Nashville. So both here in the States, meaning the United States, as around the world, because we do have listeners from around the world. What's on your wish list of places to go to?
Well, I've been a lot of places in the U.S. So I've been to around the 28 states in the United States and Canada. I would like to go to, because I'm a beach girl kind of, and during high school, so I would like to go to like the Virgin Islands. Just I love the ocean, so and it's good to write music like on the beach or something. It's just relaxing, and also Europe.
Okay.
Totally would like to go there. Yeah.
And what is it about the ocean that relaxes you? Because like I said, you grew up on the ocean. You definitely have talked about how the ocean is definitely plays a part of your life. But what is it about the ocean that relaxes you? And you're in Nashville, which is inland. So how often do you try to get back to the ocean, whether that's the Outer Banks, where so I guess some of your family is still at, or wherever? So what do you say about the whole notion of the ocean?
When you're sitting on the beach and you can feel the wind, you know, on your face and the sand, and it's a peaceful feeling. And you feel connected with God. And so the emotions flow, and then you start writing, you know, it clears your mind, even on a stressful day. But as far as getting back, my dad has only seen me 3 times since I moved here in 2009, and that's because he came here. Nashville really is a fast-paced living, so it is fast-paced living. So sometimes you don't get time to go take a vacation or something. Something happens and you can't get away, or especially doing music, raising my son, and my daughter still lives with me at 18, so I have her too. And so all that, just you don't get away right now. Music and work and all that stuff keeps you busy.
Well, like I said, we've got folks that listen from all over the world. So I know you're in negotiations with some that you have hinted at that you don't want to let folks know about. But if you could work with anybody in the world, because we might have a listener that might know them, because I know Alexandria knows some big time producers, as does some of our other producers and founders here with IBM.TV. So if there was like a wish list of somebody that you could work with and could make that happen, who would be on that wish list? So like, give us some names of people that you would love to work with that you have not worked with, but that are on the wish list of folks that you would like to have in your career path.
probably, I would say maybe Dolly Parton. Let's see. I would say Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, Dierks Bentley. I talked to Jimmy Wayne. I would like to do some music with him. I have talked to Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys about writing with him. And the thing was, before the COVID, he was so busy. So I'm hoping that get to that eventually, but he said he did want to do that, but he was fully on tour at the time, and one time we almost got to meet, but then I was one place and he was another, so it didn't happen. So
gotcha. And just in terms of the cautionary note, what are some of the things that I do want to put on at least one or two or more of your songs? But as a cautionary note, what are some of the things that you think folks should be aware of when they go into the music business? I mean, I know that sometimes even older folks that are doing music will find bad deals. Like, I know I've got a friend of mine that was talking to a management team, and the management team has not been all that fair to him in terms of the way that they treated him. And so he's actually left that kind of management idea. But just some of the things that you would tell folks to be concerned about, and that you have observed in your own career that you would let folks know they need to be aware of.
Sometimes when you sign a record deal, it's almost like opening a loan account. In all honesty, I'm gonna be 100% honest. And so if you don't make the money back, then you have to, because I had so many offers in the beginning, which at the time I regretted not taking, but now looking back, I know that I made the right decision, because, with Burning of Daylight, they were trying to convince me to give up my rights to the song. So you don't want to do that, because it may wind up being much bigger than you thought. So, you don't need to sign a record contract, because that puts you in a state sometimes where you, and there are some good record companies, don't get me wrong, there's some fair ones, but for the most part, if you sign with a record label, they want you to produce the music that they want you to do. And so your musical freedom ends. And you have to be an image or of what they want you to be. You no longer have as much freedom as you would.
Well. And do you think that you would urge people to go the independent route, or would you urge them to try to sign with a label? Because I know a lot of folks are doing, particularly in this age that we're in, and this was even before COVID, more folks were going to, like you mentioned, Spotify, or they were going to Reverb Nation, or there were even folks that were going to YouTube, and just some of the sites that I'm aware of, but they were definitely going more of the independent routes. And I know even some of our big time musician folks like Prince and others, when they were living, were encouraging folks to go independent. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there should be, would you encourage folks to go more independent, or would you encourage them to try to find a mainstream label?
It depends on the label, and it depends on the contract and the type of people and how well you know the people that you're going to be working with. It would depend on a lot of things before you would sign something, because you've got to make sure that you have rights in it all. You don't want to sign away everything. So it would depend. I currently am independent, and so I like that, because I'm not being told what I'm going to perform and things like that. I just like doing the music for the love of it, and sharing that with others. And when I first started doing that, I actually was surprised that there was more than one person that actually wanted to listen, you know. So you don't know. I mean, you may put your music out there and you may see the same thing I did, that people really can relate to a lot of it. So just, I wouldn't worry so much about signing with a label, especially at first, maybe later in the game, but like You need to know who you're working with before you do that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Really quickly, changing the topic just a little bit, I was going to put on the song 3 minutes, and I'm sitting there going like, what does 3 minutes mean? I mean, is that 3 minutes to boil an egg? Is that 3 minutes to love? Is that, what exactly does 3 minutes have to do with anything? So explain to us a little bit about what 3 minutes is before we play it, because like I said, that title just kind of threw me off. I'm going like, I don't know. Could be 3 minutes to boil an egg.
My brother told me it was 3 minutes before I run out of gas because I always wait too long to fill up the tank. So he jokes the song too. But 3 minutes, it's just something that I came up with. It's like you've got 3 minutes to tell me what's wrong, you know, because the time limit, and just 3 minutes was kind of a catchy thing for me. So I just went with that. And so
but we're going to check out what 3 minutes is all about. And like I said, 3 minutes can have all kind of connotations about everything from love to life to whatever. And I actually do the mass transit thing, so I don't have to worry about 3 minutes till I'm out of gas. But I do have friends that I've traveled with, so I know what that's like when you're sitting there and you're going like, oh, wait a minute. If we don't find a gas station soon, we will be pushing this bad boy. So let's bring up 3 minutes, and I'll get ready to do that right now. So hold on, we'll see if we can't get 3 minutes and see what this is all about.
I've been waiting up all night long for you to come back home. I sit and think about how we used to be. But I won't let it get me down the next time you come around. And you could be on the losing side of me. And you've got 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong, 'cause too many times you left me here alone. One day you'll miss me when I'm gone. 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong. On the count of 1, 2, 3, you've seen the last of me. On the count of 3, 2, 1, all I'm gonna do is run. Goodbye. Pick me up just to pull me back down. You break my heart and you're messing around. You try to lie, but it's all over town. Well, the next time you see me, I'll be stronger than I used to be. And you could be on the losing side of me. And you've got 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong, 'cause too many times you left me here alone. And one day you'll miss me when I'm gone. 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong. On the count of 1, 2, 3, you've seen the last of me. On the count of 3, 2, 1, all I'm gonna do is run. Goodbye. You got 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong. 'Cause too many times you left me here alone. And one day you'll miss me when I'm gone. 3 minutes to tell me what went wrong. I've been waiting up all night long for you to come back home. I sit and think about how we used to be.
You know, I'm not just hearing country influences. I'm hearing some other influences in your music as well. So who are the other musical styles that you think you're influenced by? Like I said, you mentioned that your son wants to be a hip-hop artist, for lack of a better term. And definitely, I think I was even hearing a little bit of blues licks and other things. So definitely, what would you say were some of your musical style influences? Because I think that in all these songs that we've heard from you, I think I've heard different styles of music influences. So I was wondering if you could tell us who some of the musical style influences are.
Now, not that I can hear this in our music, but I can tell you that there is absolutely, when you were bringing up artists, I was sad to say that I didn't mention it, but like Lionel Richie, like, I actually like his music so much, I probably would pass out if I got to work with him. It's just something about, he's just phenomenal with the writing and the everything, you know how good he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane good. And he's so comfortable with it too. It's amazing. But
Yeah, I agree. I've definitely had the pleasure of seeing Lionel Richie perform when I was in college. So talk about dating yourself, that was in the 80s. But I did see him performing when I was in Marquette and saw him perform at least once. I might have seen him more than that, but definitely have seen him perform once. Ironically, when I saw him, he had a very well-known drummer playing with him, because at that time he had Sheila E. performing with him. So Sheila E. was the drummer on that particular concert. So yeah, Sheila E. has definitely been in the game for a long time, as has Lionel. So had the pleasure of seeing both of them. And I've seen Sheila since that time. I'm not sure that I've seen Lionel since that time. I have to think back, but I can't think of a concert that I've been to where I saw Lionel other than that one time. Of course, I've seen him on TV and other places, but not in person that I can recall. But I agree that Lionel is an amazing musician. And then I know we've got folks here that are big time fans of Bobby McFerrin. So he's another great musician that has that kind of inner soul that is still out there performing. So definitely, I think that there are some amazing folks out there, but definitely that's what I was thinking as you were saying that. But I was just wondering, are there any other kinds of like styles of music that you would really like to do, or do you want to stay pretty much on the country soft rock kind of flavor, or are there other styles of music that you would like to experiment with?
I'm pretty open with the music, so I actually thought about doing like the rap country thing, finding another rap artist, doing that when I came out here. Just so much with raising the kids and stuff, it just kind of got pushed to the side at that time, and so for about a year or two, and then I just like it just seemed like that kind of died down with the rap in the country. But like I like that, and so like I will be open to that, and pretty much open to anything except for and I wouldn't mind working with heavy metal artists, but like as far as doing heavy metal, it's probably not something that I particularly would be crazy about, because you know, it depends. But I'm open to every kind of music, so definitely John Cougar Mellencamp, you know, stuff like that, Tom Petty, all kinds of things like that, Sheryl Crow. I like a lot of classical like older music.
Oh, yeah. And how important do you think music is to our society in general? Because I'm one of those people that just thinks that music is actually something that can calm us down no matter what we're going on in the world. And of course, we've got so many things happening in the world, whether that's the COVID crisis, whether that's the economic terms that some people are facing, whether that's the various other kinds of turmoils that are going on in society. But I just find music to be very soothing. I was wondering what some of your thoughts were as to how important music is to you just in terms of dealing with life.
If they ever took music away, it would just be one boring, miserable, kind of thing. And so, basically it would be empty. And so like music to me is very relaxing. I can turn on some Billy Joel. I like classical music that's way before my time. So I listen to a lot of Billy Joel and stuff like that, and it just relaxes me. Like I said, Lionel Richie, James Brown, all that stuff, it relaxes me. And so without it, I think that And sometimes I think that there's not enough original material out there right now, which there needs to be. People need to start being themselves, because they're just fine the way they are. So if they did that and shared their music and weren't trying to be something that they weren't, then we would have more variety as well, and that would be very nice. So I like to see the music keep growing, and the new young artists, I'd like to see them be original and not try to, for money wise or anything. They're fine the way they are. They've got the talent and just do their own thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I know my friend Zach, who's got a show, he's actually got two shows here. He's got the Funk Music Show, or Funk from the Front Seat, which he does on Saturdays, and then he's got Funk Music with Zach on Sundays. But one of the things he talks about is, with a lot of his musical guests, is how processed the music is. And that's a thing that he complains about, is that it just seems like it's too processed and it's too almost clinical, like the way that people would describe a hospital and everything. So it's not have that same kind of vibe that the old music did of, say, the 70s, the 80s, and some people might even argue the 90s, but definitely the 70s and 80s, and for sure the 60s. But I was wondering, do you find that as well, that a little bit of the music is a little bit too overly produced? That's the word I was looking for, overly produced.
Yeah, as amazingly as they are talented out there, sometimes I think that it would sound even better if it wasn't all trying to sound sort of the same production wise, because they're super talented, but then you get into the label or whatever and they say, well, it needs to sound like this, and then you listen to another artist, and I'm sure that's not exactly what they probably wanted, but like that comes with sometimes with labels and things, they'll put you in that kind of position where it's, we're gonna get you to work with this guitar player. That's what happened to me. They wanted to give me a very famous guitar player that was like, CMA award winning guitar player. And they wanted to give me him, and they didn't want Bo to play on the album. So that would be a different sound. And so they said he could play live with me, but he would not be able to play on the album. And I thought, well, then I'm going to sound like everybody else. So basically, I think it's too, I guess the word would be, not that they don't have talent, any of them don't. They have wonderful talent, way surpasses mine in many senses, but like they are doing too much of a uniform thing. People need the versatility that they used to have. It does help. it helps with life to hear a variety of music like we had in the past. And I'd like to see more artists come out and have more variety.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how open would you be to somebody trying to like mold you into whatever that image is? Because I do know that sometimes that's something that musicians fight against, because, you know, they might have, like, they want the person to have blonde hair, or they want them to have tattoos, or whatever they might try to do in terms of creating that image. But it sounds to me like you're a very strong musician and they're your own value. So I'm thinking that you would probably not do that. But how would you handle that if they were trying to mold you into a certain image, the labels and everything?
Well, some things, in order to, you know, look your very best, have to be done. But as far as changing my whole outlook and changing everything about me, I don't think I would allow that. But, you know, if they wanted to, like, take me to the salon or something and do my hair a little bit, make it look a little bit better for television, that's one thing. But if they wanted to change my hair color, my eye color, put tattoos on me, or, you know, make me... And I don't think it really matters if they want you to wear... dress, as long as this doesn't compromise, you know, your morals. But I would stick to my morals overall, and there's some things that I can bend on and some things that I would say no to.
Well, as we're getting ready to wrap up everything, if you could put on your crystal ball, and I asked you that earlier, but I was going to just say, if you could put on your crystal ball, what would you like Christy to be 5 years from now and 10 years from now in terms of where you would like to see your career going at that time?
Definitely want to be on the Opry and performing more live TV performances. Things like that. I would like to be doing that. I would like to share some of my music, and especially some of my experiences and pain with other people, that it might help. And so, and I just love the music, and I totally love people, so that works out. So
I can definitely understand that, and that sounds like a great thought and everything. I did have just one other song that I wanted to play, which is the one about the winter. And, of course, we're in the middle of the summer, so some people might need that winter kind of vibe going. So tell us what the winter song was all about and why you did a song about the winter. I assume you wrote it in the winter and not in the dead of the summer, which is where we're at now. And then after we play that winter song, I'd like you to wrap us all up by giving us any final thoughts that you'd like to share just on life in general. So like I said, if you got any final thoughts that you'd like to share or words of encouragement in any way, then that's how we'll wrap everything up. But tell us first about the winter song and how it came about.
I was taking a walk. I was really cold. And I wrote Winter Wishes, California Nights, and I wake up to the Tennessee lights. So I just like wrote that. And then actually, if you listen to the song, you'll be surprised that it might mention summer in there, actually.
All right. Well, we'll go check it out and see if summer gets a mention in the song. So hold on a second. We're going to bring up Winter Wishes.
Winter who wishes California nights, and I wake up to the Tennessee lights. I don't know if it's wrong or it's right, but I think you should stay the night. The days get colder and the nights get longer. I'm feeling lonely, but I'm getting stronger. Why do you have to go away? I really wish you would stay. California, you know I'm missing you this morning, and I'm crying for you. Tears like a river pouring, and I'm freezing in Tennessee tonight. But in my sleep I'm dreaming of California's morning light. summer dreaming California nights, and I wake up to the Tennessee lights. I need you with me, where have you been? But when I wake up, it's cold again. The days get colder and the nights get longer. I'm feeling lonely, but I'm getting stronger. Why do you have to go away? I really wish you would stay. California, you know I'm missing you this morning, and I'm crying for you. Tears like a river pouring, and I'm freezing in Tennessee tonight. But in my sleep, I'm dreaming of California's morning light. California, you know I'm missing you this morning, and I'm crying for you. Tears like a river pouring, and I'm freezing in Tennessee tonight. But in my sleep, I'm dreaming of California's morning light.
All right. So do you see yourself ever coming back to the Carolina area, or do you think you're going to make home permanently there in the Tennessee area just outside of Nashville, or do you see yourself eventually migrating back to North Carolina, probably with Bo and the rest of the family, but do you see yourself coming back, or do you think that you're going to make your home there in Nashville?
I really think that we're going to stay here. We actually bought a house together. We've been together now for almost 9 years. So I really think we'll stay. We're really happy here. So I think we will stay.
Sounds like a great place for you to be, particularly being around all those other great musicians. So as we wrap everything up, like I said earlier, if you want to share any kind of positive thoughts or any kind of like good vibes that you'd like to give folks, this is the opportunity to do that. The floor is yours. So if you have any final thoughts or any good wishes that you want to give folks as we close out the show, then I would love to hear those.
I would just say, I love you all. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. If you're working on music, just do not give up. And this is all temporary, what we're going through. Even if it takes a couple of years, everything will work out. And just prayers to you all. And definitely, if you're in an abusive or bad relationship, seek help and get out of that.
Yep, that's very good. You definitely have to do that. And we didn't actually touch on that, so I guess I will not quite end. But if I remember correctly, you also have a foundation that you're also working on as well. Because before we get off, can you just tell folks a little bit about what that's going to be about? Because I think part of what it is going to address that is the whole concept of trying to help people.
Well, what it is the idea is to, in the middle of downtown Nashville, what I wanted to do was start a actual big foundation where abused women and children can come inside with a bunch of us other musicians, and we can sit down and they can write down their feelings, and we can teach them how to write songs as a way of musical therapy. So for me, being able to write has tremendously helped me in expressing and getting rid of that pain. And so it's a godsend. So to share that with them and help them out. And so also I wanted to do like some sort of a shelter, but I wasn't sure how to be able to do all that. It does take quite a bit of funds, but it was called Bruised Not Broken Foundation. So I didn't have enough support at the time. Maybe I wasn't well known enough to start it yet, but I would like to start it back up and help as many people as I possibly could.
Well, and if folks are listening or catching this at a later time and want to reach out to you to help you get that foundation off the ground, how would they reach out to you? And also, have you started any sort of Patreon campaigns or any other campaigns around this? So is there ways that folks can reach you if they're interested in helping you both with the foundation as well as with your musical career in general?
If they want to help, or if they want to reach me for any other reason, it can be at Christy Baker 7. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-Y Baker, B-A-K-E-R, 7 at yahoo.com. They can email me and I can be reached there. They can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much every outlet. LinkedIn, there's a lot of, they can reach me in a lot of ways.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. And what's the name of the studio? If they want to try to find you, if they're in the Nashville area and want to try to get studio work with you, what's the name of your studio?
Well, this is in our home. So this is our home studio. So, if they wanted to work with us, they can just reach me by the email and then I can reach out to them. So this is just our home studio, so it's like one room jam-packed full of musical equipment and stuff, but we have had artists come in and work with us before at our home.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds like y'all definitely had that open kind of environment in terms of like not just getting your own careers off the ground, but also helping others. And it definitely sounds like you are very much committed to trying to help folks that are going through troubled relationships. So I said that last thing was going to be the last thing, but I think this will be the last one. Once again, if you could give advice to those that are going through abusive situations and how they could get out of it, or what you feel that they should do to get out of it, I think that that's how we'll close out the show. So like I said, if you got any advice for folks that are going through abusive situations, and we know that that isn't always the women, that sometimes men can go through abusive situations as well. So no matter what the gender is, of course, we do know kids are oftentimes involved in those. So any advice that you got for folks, no matter their gender, their race, their religion, their creed, or even their age, that would be greatly appreciated. So any advice that you've got that you want to share, Christy?
Sometimes, you know, they just can't get away. And so they'll try, as in my case, you'll try to get away and then, you know, he'll find out you're leaving and then jump in the back of the truck and like threaten to kill you, you know, things like that. So you've got to plan your time. You've got to be sometimes patient and try to avoid the arguments in the process. And so, and then, you know, opportunities, and trust me, prayer is a big deal, and God can help you get out of these things. But you can't look at the situation you're in. You just got to trust him and he will help you get through it. But you also have to talk to people and get the help that you need, because there are people who care, despite what that person might be telling you, which they'll isolate you first so that you're not, you know. So I would just say, plan to get out. It does not get better after you've been hit several times and you start thinking, well, maybe it'll change. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change. It gets worse. And you wouldn't believe how bad it does get. So don't let it get that far. And get out as early as you can, I would say. It's not okay for anybody to hit anybody and be physically abusive. Definitely not.
No. And sometimes it seems like you just have to walk away, because I know that's what happened in one of the situations I was in. I was feeling like it was an abusive situation, and they left for work one day, and I left the other way because I just felt that it was too much going on, and you sometimes have to just literally walk away.
Yes, that's the right way to do it. Hey, look, if they're not there to stop you from leaving, then you can go. So, yes, sometimes you have to wait it out. But, yeah, I got impatient one day when there was a fight, and I tried to jump in the truck with the kids, and he jumped in the back of the truck and then was pounding on the back of the window of the truck with the kids screaming. And so that was a bad scene. And so I learned right then that I have to just wait it out. And so that's what I did.
Yeah. Looks like you have definitely have grown a lot through the process. Unfortunately, that you had to go through that in order to develop the way you have. But it definitely has made you a stronger person and probably a better person. And it's definitely helping you even in your musical career. So, Christy, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I'll have to get you back on. I know that a lot of our other folks that we do regular shows with have also dealt with a lot of these kind of issues. So we might want to have you back on one of our other shows as well, or definitely on my show again. But I've definitely enjoyed the conversation, and I want to thank you for being so open both about your musical career, but also sharing the pains that you went through. So definitely, I appreciate you being a guest.
All right. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it so much.
No problem. Well, that's going to wrap it up on this edition. This is a special edition of the radio show with Mark Lee, and we had our guest, Christy Baker, on. So she was definitely an amazing guest, and we look forward to hearing more from her. As you could hear, the music is just great. I was, as you could tell, bopping my head and enjoying the great musical sound. So I am definitely looking forward to hearing more tunes from her as she continues to develop this great music, some based on her experiences, some just based on life in general, and some based that she had on conversations with other folks. So, you know, oftentimes music can find its inspiration at all kinds of places, both in our own lives as well as on things that we are inspired from other people's stories as well. So sometimes the music is based on our own stories, and sometimes it's based on stories that we have heard from others. So she is definitely doing a great job with the music, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of these stories. And I'm also hoping that there's a center that she is trying to create, as well as the foundation, will be able to help many women that have gone through these kinds of abusive situations. Because we do know that with all going on in the world, we need to work on ways to heal. And it seems like she is doing that. She is being a healer, both in the sense of with her music, as well as some of her ambitious goals with what she's trying to do to help others that have been through similar situations like hers. So on that note, we're going to wrap up this edition of the radio show with Mark Lee. And I look forward to seeing y'all on upcoming editions as well. So that'll wrap up this edition, but we will be back. You know, we usually do these on Mondays between the hours of, we've extended it now. So it's like between the hours of 2 and 5. And we're also going to start doing some things on Wednesday as well. So definitely keep that in mind and keep listening. We're going to keep on telling great stories, but sharing important messages as well. So definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. And don't forget, you can catch it on our IBM.TV YouTube site, as well as our Facebook sites and some of our other sources as well, such as Twitter and other ways that you can go out and catch this in replay. So definitely want to thank those that have been listening and those that will be listening in its replay version, because we oftentimes find that we have quite a few more listeners in the replay version than we do on the original recording. So just want to thank everybody for tuning in, and definitely get out there and learn more about Christy Baker and her amazing music. So on that note, we'll see y'all the next time.